I want to welcome everyone to our Keeping on Track open line. At Lighthouse, we're celebrating over 25 years in business and just entering our 12th year of doing open line programs. So we've covered almost every topic in business, so all you need to do to find it is to go to our homepage, find the tab for open line or Keeping on Track. There's a search area there for finding a topic, pull it up, and you got your answers. We have a new website for this year, which is really exciting. And also, our new book, Cracking the High Performance Team Code, is now available either through our site or you can go on Amazon. We also have some very cool programs that I wanted to mention to you all. We have lunchtime stress management and work and time management workshops, along with leadership and supervisory training for both white-collar and blue-collar, and that can be given in English or in Spanish. And we are just about to launch, get this drum roll, please, a wellness assistance program. It's very similar to an EAP without the heavy-duty cost on it, no cost per head, just per usage. And the people that are participating in it as counselors are just, I've got the best of the best for it. So be looking out for that. Our topic today is time to develop a remote workforce strategy. It's shocking to me how many people still don't embrace it. And Patty is a longtime friend of ours, business associate, good buddy, loves turtles like we do over here at Lighthouse. And Patty joins our team, and I thought, what a good topic to end the year with. It's time to develop a remote workforce strategy. I was talking to a client the other day, and one of their key employees had to move and was crying because they thought they had to leave. And the CEO said, well, why don't we look into this remote workforce thing, and then you can work from your home. Now, that's an innovative person. He didn't want to lose a good person. And we're going to be going through strategy and recruitment and retention shortly. My name is Dana Barocca. I'm the CEO of Lighthouse Consulting Services. Just a few housekeeping items before we jump into our topic. For those of you joining us for the very first time at Lighthouse, everything we do goes back to our mission statement, bringing effective insights to your business. And we do this through our in-depth work style and personality assessments to raise the hiring bar and help with interpersonal coaching, team building, 360s, various workshops, and the list goes on. If you have an office in Taiwan or in Asia or in UK and want to get some coaching for your people of how to work with a US-based organization, just let us know. We are an international operation and can serve your needs. Our goal is to make this an interactive program, so on your screen you'll see an area that you can send questions or ideas during our discussion. Then we'll attempt to respond to as many of you as possible along the way. This is the exciting part for me. Introducing Patty Crabtree. Patty is just the most wonderful person with a huge heart and keen as could be with a very high intellect. Patty, we're very fortunate to have Patty as one of our senior consultants on our team. Patty has over 25 years of successfully leading and growing teams. She was instrumental in the development of an operations and infrastructure that resulted in consistent increased profits and employee engagement. Patty has also effectively navigated the challenges of change management in the ever-changing world of business that we're in. I feel so privileged to have Patty with us today, and at the end of today's program, actually in a couple days, you'll be able to sign up for our next program in January, actually. It's going to be with Barry Deutsch on recruiting in a tough environment, which everybody's facing that same problem. So, Patty, welcome to Open Line, and take it away.
Thank you, Dana, so much for that really, really warm welcome. It's such a pleasure to work with you and everyone at Lighthouse. I feel very honored.
Thank you.
And I appreciate the opportunity to speak on the topic today of developing a remote workforce strategy. You know, the idea of developing a remote workforce strategy may sound a little intimidating, but it doesn't have to be. just to share a quick summary of my experience with managing a remote workforce. In 2006, our company was growing. We were about 65 employees with multiple open positions, and we were struggling to find quality candidates in our local area. In the years before the 2008 recession, the labor market was really tight. It was more challenging for us to find qualified candidates because we were in a specialized industry, and there wasn't a large pool to choose from. And we were facing the challenges of meeting our client needs. What options did we have back then? Well, the out-of-box solution was offshoring, so we decided to pursue that option. We started setting up our operations to support a staff halfway around the world. As we went through the process of organizing our operations, another idea was born. If we can make it work with staff halfway around the world, why couldn't we work with staff anywhere in the U.S.? Granted, offshore operations were in a traditional office setting, along with managers on site to oversee the work. So what was holding us back? Well, the idea of how our organization should be structured. The idea we need everyone in a centralized location to be successful. The fear that we could not trust our employees to be productive if they worked away from the office and that manager oversight. The times were tough and we needed to take a risk, so we did. We hired our first remote worker, someone who'd worked 2,000 miles away from our main office. We took what we had learned for managing staff halfway around the world and started applying that to developing a remote work program. Then we fine-tuned it and molded it along the way. Over the subsequent years, we were able to develop a process that enabled 95% of our staff to work remotely if they wanted to. The 5% that didn't fell into the categories of reception and a backup in the office so we could accept deliveries and greet visitors, though we probably could have identified a solution that would have allowed those individuals to work remotely. Instead, we decided to keep those responsibilities in a more traditional format. With this new approach to the work environment, it opened up our ability to recruit nationally, which created a larger pool of talented candidates who would help drive our customer and financial success over the years. We serviced clients all over the nation and streamlined our operations, which made our profitability soar. Today, I'll share a few things learned along that journey and the operational and management needs to consider as we look to implement a remote worker program. So why implement a remote workforce strategy? As Dana mentioned, you know, our work world is changing. It's evolving. Unemployment right now is really low. Competition for quality workers is fierce, and technology is really driving change out there. I hear many managers express frustration that they're struggling to fill openings. With the tight labor market today, candidates are driving the conversation. So how do you become that employer of choice?
Oh, Patty, whenever you're ready, yes. Just let us know. We'll move the slides forward.
Okay, I will. Surveys have shown that flexibility is a hot topic for workers today. The shift to life-work integration is growing. So what does that mean for you as an employer? And I think, Dana, we can move to the next slide. Flexibility means adapting to changing forces. Flexible work schedules, providing opportunities outside current job descriptions, using new formats of communication such as chat, adding a casual dress code. There are many creative ways to provide flexibility, and the ability to work from anywhere is gaining momentum as a benefit in today's workforce. Let's take a minute to talk about what is a remote worker strategy. This term applies to having your staff work from any location. The definition of location can literally mean anywhere, a library, a coffee shop, a hotel, or simply defined as a specific location such as work from home, which is what we had chosen to do. You'll need to decide what works best for your company based on your goals and client needs. Okay, we're going to jump right into the main question I get asked. How will I know our employees are working? My question back to you guys is, how do you know they're working today? Having employees in an office does not guarantee you're getting the best out of them. Managing productivity comes down to the tools and systems you have in place. If you don't have a sense of how much someone should produce in their given position or whether or not they are meeting that production, well, then probably need to do a little work in that area to help develop this process. With productivity under control, it should not matter if the employees in the office are working from home. With the right tools, you know whether they're producing the results expected. Owl Labs produces an annual survey regarding remote work. In their 2019 report, State of Remote Work, it indicates that 82% of surveyed employers are concerned about productivity and 81% are concerned about engagement. In that same survey, 79% of the employees surveyed felt their productivity and focus increased by working remotely. And 74% stated working remotely made them less likely to leave their current employer. There's a bit of disconnect here between employer concerns and perceptions and the actual employee experience. Gallup also did a study in 2017, State of the Global Workplace. This study shows that employees who work remotely produced 4 more hours of work each week than those in a traditional office setting. This illustrates that there are actually more distractions in a traditional office environment than in a remote location. The drop-bys, chatting in the halls or break room, and other distractions are eliminated, so workers are focused on getting the work done. Also take into consideration the reduction in stress as the hassles of commutes are eliminated. Dealing with the challenges of commuting can be hectic. Arriving at work, you may already be starting your day stressed and on a negative note. This can definitely impact one's focus and productivity. Just imagine that morning drive into the office. Traffic is backed up more than normal and not moving. At least that happens here all the time in LA. People are pushing their way into your lane. Horns are honking. Now imagine how stressful it would be to walk from your kitchen to your home office just a few feet away. How much more productive would you be by not carrying that feeling from your commute into the start of your day? I know I feel a little more relaxed just thinking about it. There was an employee we had who liked her job, had a good work environment, and felt she was well paid and had good benefits. She felt challenged in her role. She also faced a long commute each day. A recruiter reached out with an opportunity that offered a similar type of company benefits and challenges and also offered the ability to work remotely. The idea of getting 2 to 3 hours back in her life by removing her commute, think about it, 10 to 15 hours a week, hundreds of hours a year, was too much for her to pass up, and she took the new position. She could spend more time with her family and handle life's responsibilities more during the week, and it freed up her time so on the weekends she could just enjoy life. So this key employee was lost, where having some flexibility in her work location may have helped retain her. What a gift the flexibility of a remote work environment can be for both the employee and the employer. A happier employee equals higher productivity and less turnover. Another concern shared is about engagement. Engagement is defined as the action of occupying, attracting, or involving somebody's interest or attention. So how do you occupy, attract, or involve somebody's interests? Understanding what is important will make a difference. When workers feel their employer cares about them, they're more likely to be engaged at work. A remote worker program enables more flexibility for the employee to manage their work and personal lives. They get more time back in their lives, can save money on commuting to that traditional work environment. The feeling that their employer cares about their needs as much as the work produced is powerful. We had one company where they had a highly valued employee, a superstar whose clients loved her. They gave her high ratings in annual client surveys. She was highly respected among her peers. Plus, she generated the most individual revenue in the company. I think this is somebody you'd want to keep. She decided she wanted to purchase a home, but LA was way too expensive for her to buy a decent home. And after giving it thought, she decided she needed to move out of the area to meet this personal goal. It was a hard decision, as she didn't want to leave the company that she loved, but she really wanted this for herself. So she met with her manager, explained her situation, and asked if there was something that could be worked out. Not wanting to lose their superstar and truly caring about her, they decided to take a chance and try a remote worker program. She would be their test case. If it worked, it would be a big win for everyone. If it didn't work, well, at least they gave it their best shot and created a lot of goodwill among the rest of the staff by showing they were willing to make the investment to keep a valued colleague. That program turned out to be so successful, it was expanded over time to where 2/3 of the staff worked remotely full-time, regardless of where they lived. Some were just a few miles down the road from the office. Others lived thousands of miles away. It just worked. It took time, periodic assessments of the program, checking in with staff, and over time, the investment really paid off. Not only did a majority of the staff successfully work remotely, but the company was able to reduce their office space, thus saving thousands of dollars each month on rent. Also, they added the ability to recruit nationally, which expanded their talent pool. It no longer mattered where the candidate lived. They were able to find and retain the talent needed. It was such a big win for that organization and its employees. The Owl Lab survey mentioned earlier also indicates employees who work remotely are happier, feel more trusted, less stressed, are more inclined to recommend their employer to a friend, and less likely to leave than their office-bound colleagues. They have a better work-life balance, increased productivity, better focus, less stress, and have the opportunity to save more money. Providing a remote worker program may be an easy solution to retaining the top talent and being that more desirable choice for candidates in the marketplace. So these are a few whys for implementing a remote worker program. Now let's talk about the hows, the nitty-gritty here. In general, when considering a remote worker program, a company will need to review how its culture may need to mature, what technology will be needed, what recruiting and interview strategies should be implemented, and how will your onboarding process and training evolve? Will there be any changes to how work gets done? What will managers need to do differently to support remote workers? And how will teamwork and collaboration continue and grow? So let's go through these in a little bit more detail. Company culture. Why is this important? Company culture is the personality or identity of the company. It defines the environment in which employees work, along with how to interact with clients. Some companies are team-based, while others follow a more traditional management style. There are many approaches to culture. Whatever culture your company has defined, it should be documented and reviewed regularly with staff to ensure everyone is on the same page. By having clear communication and expectations set, and by really living by the defined values, that is very, very important, everyone has a sense on how to conduct business, manage workflow, and interact as a team and treat customers. Having your team on the same page brings success, and culture is the expression of your company's beliefs and action. Living a strong culture helps an organization respond to the demands of the marketplace, creates employee retention, ensures higher productivity, grows client satisfaction, and can make a company financially stronger. With all this in place, it will not matter the location from which your staff works. Everyone can be in the same room or spread across multiple locations. A strong cultural presence will always be felt by both staff and clients. When deciding on a remote worker program, look at the factors that may impact your culture. Let's say accountability is a value of your organization. How do you currently build an environment of accountability? With a remote work program, does anything need to change to ensure this value stays strong? It may be helpful to pull together an internal committee to review each of the organization's values. Ask the group this question. Is there anything in the definition of our values that need to evolve to effectively support a remote worker program? If so, what steps need to be taken to implement the change? Then implement them. Execution is always the key. Taking the example of accountability a bit further, how do you ensure all commitments are currently met in your current environment? How will this look if some employees work from a remote location? Is there another system or tool that is needed to support clear communication and management of commitments? Do managers need new reporting to help oversee this environment of accountability? Does workflow tracking need to be enhanced? These are the type of questions that will help you understand how to ensure your culture remains strong in a diverse work environment. Also, build activities that keep your values top of mind. Talk about them in team meetings. Ask for examples of coworkers exhibiting a value and publicly recognize it. There are many ways to keep your values strong within your organization. Leadership's consistent messaging about values will help ensure everyone follows the same vision, along with setting the appropriate expectation, regardless of the work location. That where somebody is sitting won't really matter anymore. Okay, next slide, please. Okay, technology. I know this is a big one. Today is a great time to implement a remote worker program from a technology standpoint. There are so many solutions on the market that support a remote connection. Based on your current network setup, your IT professional should be able to help you narrow down the right solution. But believe it or not, the actual hardware and software solution is just one component of your technology strategy. a remote worker solution will not only encompass your hardware and software needs, but will also designate a point person to be that decision maker for your remote worker needs, that person who's going to be consistent on delivering the messaging of how you guys are going to present yourself in that remote work environment. Address data security. This is a big one out there. Determine the equipment and internet connection needed to support a remote worker. Track who has access to what and how to maintain this information. Define internet access protocols and control over websites. Who gets to print? What phone solution is used? There are many aspects to consider in your approach to technology. When deciding the physical network setup, be aware of single points of failure that may prevent staff from working. Things like a single remote server or one internet connection can stop up your operations if it fails. Your remote server goes down, then no one working remotely will be able to access your network. If you have one internet provider and their service is interrupted, you have a secondary solution which you can quickly switch over to. Have a backup plan for the basic essentials of your network setup. So designating a point person. This person is going to establish ownership over your technology requirements of your organization to help ensure that there's a consistency in how each aspect is implemented and make sure that everybody stays on the same page. This person needs to have the authority to manage the project along with making the necessary decisions about solutions or direction. They will also be accountable to ensure the necessary documentation and training occurs, which enables staff to successfully participate in the remote worker program. Data security. Such a hot, hot topic out there. With all these large data breaches being reported in the media, this is top of mind for many IT professionals. What type of data you manage? How should it be secured? There are numerous regulations around PII, personally identifiable information, such as name, address, social security number, and other personal data, and how it's protected. I'm going to rattle off a few of those regulatory requirements that we have in place today and that impact data security. There's the Graham-Leach-Bliley Act, which is a big one that covers a lot of aspects of this. You have HIPAA, Health Insurance Portability Act, and Accountability Act. FCRA, Fair Credit Reporting Act, ECPA, Electronic Communications Privacy Act, and there's a new one, CCPA, the new California Consumer Privacy Act that goes effect January 1, which is going to be one of the strongest in the nation. And this list goes on and on. You will need to understand your responsibilities for securing your data, and again, your IT professional will be able to help you here. Questions to ask as you're looking at securing your data. How do I maintain firewalls? What virus protection is used for both servers and devices connecting to my server? Is data encrypted? What are my password protocols? Do I require a VPN to connect to servers when outside the office? Is dual-factor authentication needed? Many of these items should already be addressed with your current technology setup. Review this with your IT professional to identify any changes that might be needed to support a remote worker environment. For equipment and internet access of the remote worker, do you allow the employee to use their own equipment? Big question out there. If so, what exposure does that bring? Keep in mind, if the employee is using their own equipment, that others in their household may be using that same equipment, and they could be potentially accessing harmful websites. What could your organization be exposed to if you don't control which equipment connects to your servers? Do you require a wired internet connection, no Wi-Fi, to ensure a more stable, faster remote connection? What minimum bandwidth do you require for someone to work remotely? Does the employee live in a remote location where they don't have access to a fast internet connection? Working with large data files, the process can be slowed really, really down if there isn't adequate bandwidth to access your network. We had one employee who lived in a very, very remote setting. Her internet was painfully slow. Documents would display one line at a time, and there were no providers in her area that were installing faster connections. So we helped her invest in a T1 line. We took on the added burden of the additional cost. We shared the cost with her, and her productivity skyrocketed. It was a small price to pay to keep a top talent and help her produce more for our clients. You'll have to decide who will be able to access this remote connection and what files can they use. Do you lock down any potential harmful websites that can be accessed to the network and limit exposure to harmful agents? We had an instance where someone clicked on a website they shouldn't have, and our network was exposed to a virus. It took a week to get everything cleaned up, a week of low productivity, a week with our IT staff working long hours just to clean up the network issues. There was lost data, as we had to restore from a prior backup. Definitely not fun time for our organization, but we learned many lessons here. So there is value in looking into software that can lock down the websites that people can access. And that's a good protocol even without a remote work environment. Do you allow your staff to print at home? If so, what exposure is to your data? Do you want staff printing off client reports and information and having that floating around their home environments or whatever work environment, remote work environment they work in? Do you really need to have these paper printouts anymore? One idea out there is we purchase tablets for client meetings. The devices could be loaded with specific software for running meetings and locking it down so it only used that software. The account manager set up the reports on the devices prior to the meeting, handed them out to the attendees, ran the meeting from a master device. It allowed the presenter to control the meeting more effectively, and many clients loved this green approach. They didn't like getting the paper as much as we didn't like printing it. What about phones? Does the employee just forward their office phone line to a personal phone? Do you use a virtual technology such as Ring Central, Freedom Voice, phone.com? Or do you provide an IP phone for each remote worker? There are multiple solutions available depending on how you want to manage this experience for both clients and staff. Okay, let's talk policies now. Policies are important as they outline the expectations for different aspects of how your business is run. A remote worker program is no different. A policy needs to be in place to address the expectations in participating in such a program and the responsibilities for everyone involved. Establishing an acceptable policy, acceptable use policy is a must. Determining what can be connected to your network, what information can be accessed, how to secure the platforms connecting remotely, and the overall operating procedures, as well as strict disclosure detailing the penalties that can be expected if policies aren't followed, are an important part of training for your staff. It really drives home the importance of securing data and being very thoughtful on how they approach using your computer system. This can help ensure that you have a process in place for granting remote access as well as revoking it. Having this practice documented, tracked, adhered to, and kept current at all times helps keep your information and system safe. There's a lot of information available to guide you through setting up a technology for your remote worker program. Okay, moving on to interviewing and recruiting. So now you've established the foundation for a remote worker program and are ready to implement it, and you want to start recruiting outside your region. How do you get noticed by a larger audience? The first step is to review how you market to candidates. Traditionally, job ads will list out the requirements of the job and the expectations, but really to get you noticed, you should start with what's called a compelling statement. Really, why should the candidate work for you? Talk about exciting things or things like exciting challenges offered in the role, growth opportunities, and your fun work environment. All these can pull in the type of candidates you want, but make sure you're giving them the message of why they would want to come work for you. With a remote worker program, you can highlight your flexible work options as part of that compelling statement. This can be a big draw for quality candidates who are looking for more than just a standard work environment. I've spoken with candidates who've decided to apply for a position mainly based on having a remote work benefit. These are really quality candidates that made a difference in the firm. It was exciting to have more talent options as an employer, and some surveys have shown it can take up to less than, or it can reduce time to fill open positions by 33%. And we all know that recruiting, as much as it's important, is not the best use of our time at all. If you work with recruiters, discuss your remote worker program with them, elicit their ideas for branching out nationally. Make sure the recruiter has a national outreach and understands how to source candidates in this manner. Not all recruiters do. If they don't, there are other recruiters out there who will be able to help you, but it is important that they understand how to reach that audience in a bigger scope. And just a quick note for things to keep in mind as you expand into multiple states. Each state has its own laws when it comes to work hours, overtime, and other labor requirements. For instance, California has some of the strictest meal break and overtime laws in the country. Those of us who work in California know that. Overtime is over 8 hours of work in a day, over 40 hours of work in a week, and meal breaks must be started prior to the beginning of the fifth work hour of each day. If you're recruiting outside of California, there may be more flexibility when it comes to overtime or when meal breaks are required, which could be advantageous for some employers. Make sure to research the laws in each state in which you're interviewing candidates. If you're using a payroll company, they probably can help you understand some of those requirements. You also need to apply for state IDs in each state, and these sometimes can take a few weeks to receive. Some are instantaneous, some may take some time, so keep that in mind as you bring on an out-of-state employee. We had some painful lessons along the way with some states that took a few weeks to get that all set up, and we still had to get that employee paid timely. So it got a little awkward. So just something to keep in mind. Also, there may be some tax implications to consider, so check with your CPA as you move to hire outside your state. When interviewing candidates, traditionally companies will bring in that candidate for a face-to-face interview after initial phone screening. For the remote candidates, the process probably needs to be tweaked a little bit and tailored to the unique situation. Maybe you have more and multiple phone interviews, or you can have video conferencing as an option. Both work really well. Once remote candidates are narrowed down, bringing them in for a face-to-face interview may be beneficial. This will enable the hiring manager to get a stronger understanding of the candidate, along with giving the candidate the opportunity to get a better feel of the company. That investment can pay off in the long run. It's not a necessity, as the entire interaction can be done virtually. This comes down to what will work best for your organization and its culture. Of course, we all know assessments play a very, very important role in your recruiting process. I am a big, big fan of the 16PF, so I'm a little biased, but I really think it's very important. And using that quality assessment, the hiring manager will have the ability to have a better understanding of any challenges somebody may have working in a remote capacity, the ways that maybe you can help that individual be successful. For instance, someone who needs regular social interaction may feel isolated working remotely. Having a game plan to help that person develop and maintain relationships within the organization is a beneficial way of helping them keep that connection and having that social interaction they crave. Knowing the opportunities for that individual goes a long way in helping them thrive in your organization. You know, as I've learned along the way, a detailed multi-step recruiting process is really helpful, regardless of the company's work location options, and having a remote workforce doesn't change that. Okay, onboarding and training. I hear stories from employees about starting with a company and being thrown into the deep end when it comes to orientation and training. A sink or swim approach. This is not necessarily the best way to start off a new employee. A strong onboarding process is a key component to getting the new employee off on the right foot. It sets the tone and expectations for the work relationship, along with giving the new hire the tools to be successful in their role. When onboarding a remote worker, there are a few ways to manage orientation and training for the new employee. Having that face-to-face connection may be important to your organization and its culture, so bringing that remote worker into your office for the initial orientation and training may be the best solution. This can help the worker get better acclimated to the company and its culture, along with developing a connection with coworkers. Having them there for a specific period of time and paying for the travel and lodging can be a great investment to show that person you care about their success in joining your firm and getting them started in the right direction. Some companies also have a well-developed virtual presence, so managing the initial orientation and training via video and phone conferencing can be extremely successful. Having access to online training videos is another method to help someone get started at the organization. It also can help provide consistency in the messaging of the information shared. Everybody sees the same video, everybody gets the same message. It doesn't get kind of lost in the translation at times.
And Patty, you did something very interesting for some of your clients where for onboarding, where you had a nice present for them on their first day.
Yeah, we whenever we brought somebody on board, we would pull together this package and some candy and maybe a coffee mug. And we used to have a T-shirt that was branded with the company name. And we provided them actually a book, How to Win Friends and Influence People, old book that everybody loves. And we provided them also audio tapes on time management and, you know, keeping on track of your commitments. And so we gave them a lot of tools to help them be successful in our environment. Our culture was very important to us in maintaining that strong culture. We developed a welcome gift around that. The owner also actually started doing things like sending a gift to the spouse because we brought them in for a couple weeks and we took them away from their family. So we sent them the spouse a gift, thanking them for, you know, enabling this to happen so we could make this a successful relationship. And we did little touches along the way. So it does make a big difference when you really show people you care with that small investment. People really, really, really appreciate it.
Also, that nice cappuccino sitting there doesn't hurt either.
This is true. And we also did, you know, we also had a welcome lunch for the person on their first day where we would bring up the remote staff on did large monitors that we had in our lunchroom, so they got to be able to connect to the new employee and see him, and we did a brief introduction, and that employee kind of gave them, you know, this is who I am, you know, a little two-minute, this is who I am, where I came from, and we had these get-to-know-you questions where they would answer a question like, you know, what's my favorite book, or, you know, where is the most unique place I've ever visited, something along those lines, and it really kind of started developing those relationships off the bat. And then we also, part of our program, had what we called meet and greets. And the manager would take four or five people in the organization that this person would not normally interact with and have a little meet and greet session and, you know, do some team building there. So, because when you have somebody who comes on board, they're going to be really focused on the people they're going to interact on a regular basis. And it was important to us that they started relationships with everybody in the organization. So there's a lot of cool little things you can do out there to really start building that teamwork and the relationships and the collaboration that you want within your team. So when developing a program to bring somebody on board and take them through orientation, there was one company that started out and they decided that they would bring the individual into the corporate office for actually 90 days, tying that into the traditional probationary period. And I won't go into the perils of a formal probationary period today, especially in the state of California, but that's something for another day, another conversation. But over time, the company really developed a better understanding of how to onboard new employees and to ensure that they successfully adapt to the company's culture. They reduced that time down to a few weeks with team building exercises that we talked about, focused training, and enhanced orientation practices. And again, it's really, really important that you invest that time up front when you bring somebody on board, especially in that remote environment, because developing that connection is going to develop the stickiness of that employee. And if it's somebody that's really critical to your organization, invest the time. So things to consider, a few questions to keep in mind as you onboard a remote employee is how will introductions be made throughout the organization? How will remote and office-based workers interact on a regular basis, and what expectations need to be set with everyone? What best practices should be shared for successfully working remotely? Maybe somebody's new to working remotely. What have you learned along the way that you can share with that individual to help them acclimate to that remote work environment? How will leaders approach developing the trust needed for a successful working relationship? Managers are really key for this. What resources are available for a remote worker, and how do they find them? Who's their go-to person beside their manager? And how do they participate in meetings? Meetings can be a little awkward when you're participating via video conferencing or other ways. And so help them understand how they can engage in that conversation more effectively. Having an effective onboarding program that addresses these and other questions is important in creating a successful remote working relationship. Okay, managing teamwork and collaboration. Regardless of the work environment, managers need tools and processes to ensure that the work is done timely and efficiently. So with remote workers added to the mix, how will this be done virtually? Work processes can be reviewed to ensure systems are set up to support that remote work environment. Is all the information needed available virtually? Can employees easily access everything they need? If not, what needs to be converted into a virtual format so everyone has information needed to be successful? We were a very paper-driven environment. We had files and files. We actually had a 3,000 square foot room where we maintained all of our client records. And we made the decision to prospectively start going paperless to support this remote work environment. So we started on day one, we started scanning everything and moving it forward. We didn't look at the old files. We didn't touch the old files. We left them in a paper format. It was everything coming in the door as of that day. There were a few documents in our old files that we needed that were base documents for our work that we scanned and we put onto our network. But we left everything in a paper format that existed. That worked for us. Some companies need to scan everything and get it onto the network. But you need to make sure that everybody has access to the information they need to be successful. The reporting and tools that leaders use to manage productivity can be reviewed and enhanced as needed to support remote staff. For instance, if you track production team performance versus goals on a whiteboard in an office, which I see in many offices, this can be converted into a virtual format so everybody involved can see it. You know, what tools do you use to maintain that, to motivate that, to encourage people? How do you make them virtual so everybody has access to it? Workflow management for remote workers would proceed in the same fashion of those in the office with managing milestones and service standards that is tracked on a regular basis. For those working remotely, their productivity should be held to the same standard as those in the office. And as we mentioned earlier, over time, you'll be surprised to see that remote workers will exceed those standards. As we mentioned earlier, there's many surveys that show that productivity increases in a remote work environment. Something to keep in mind, when someone begins working remotely, go ahead.
It was interesting. Probably about 30-plus years ago, Pac Bell worked with USC and did a study that turned out like 400 pages of documentation. And they showed clinically that the right remote worker will increase productivity between 30 to 300%.
Yeah, it's really fascinating not having those day-to-day distractions and being in an environment where you're relaxed and more comfortable, what it'll do for your productivity. There are so many studies out there that support this increased productivity and just increased satisfaction and happiness.
And it can be fun, too, because we were doing a team-building workshop at a brick-and-mortar location, but they had a lot of people that were remote. So they actually brought in laptops, put the laptop, like, in front of the seat on the desk,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they had video. So it was like the person was right there because there was their face.
Yep. Yeah, I've seen that before where they put the faces around the table with everybody else sitting and, you know, we chose to do large. We had 70-inch monitors up on the wall.
Wow.
Where everybody's face was there. And we could see them and interact with them and just, you know, keep that connection with everybody, which is really important. But, you'll be surprised. There's a huge opportunity for productivity to increase. And, you know, people feel more valued.
Crazy.
It is crazy. It was counter to what our fears were when we first started it. Our fears were that, you know, we're going to lose control, that we're not going to service our clients at the level we wanted to, and it was the opposite. People just engaged more heavily in the work. They felt better, and that elimination of that commute was huge. It was really huge for everyone. Something to keep in mind, though. Yeah, something to keep in mind when somebody begins working remotely for the first time.
Right.
There may be a short adjustment period because they have to redefine how they manage their workday, how they connect with people, how they interact. We saw a small drop in productivity in a few people in the beginning, but again, there was just a few people. But this was normal as they developed their new normal for doing their job. We had a very successful relationship manager who relocated and began working remotely for us. She got a little behind in her tasks at first, and we kind of watched over it. And then her manager decided to reach out. And the employee was very honest with us. She shared that she was redefining how she did her job, that the remote work environment was different, and she wasn't prepared for it. And she needed to develop new habits and approaches to managing her workload and interacting with her peers. After a few weeks, not only was she back to her old self again, but she was gaining momentum and taking on more tasks. She was feeling more successful and was happier than ever in her role. With support, understanding, and a little patience, she reestablished her superstar status for us and stayed with us ever since.
That's
maintaining
great.
Yeah, it is. There's a lot of positive stories out there about how this can be successful, and there's a few stories about how it doesn't work for some people, and that'll happen. But it's 90-10, you know, in that aspect. 10% of the people, 5% of the people may not feel as connected in a remote work environment, but 90% of them will just soar and they'll thrive.
That's great.
Yeah. Communication is a challenge in all aspects of our lives. Different styles and understanding can lead to miscommunication, so the focus on effective communication becomes more important in a diverse work environment. Ensuring everyone is hearing a message in the same manner and on a regular basis is critical. To keep everybody moving in that same direction, just make sure that you've enhanced your communication to encompass that remote work environment. And what do you need to do to make sure everybody's on the same page? Meetings will become virtual. Instead of just pulling everybody into a room or a specific area to have a quick chat, you're going to pull them up in a virtual format. A quick touch base will be a phone call instead of a drop-by. Managers will need to make sure that all staff is included in conversations. Again, that messaging consistency is important. And it may take a little more coordination, but over time, it does become second nature to everybody. We're going to pull together a meeting. We automatically pull together whatever tools you have in place, you know, Zoom, JoinMe, or whatever, and we have a quick face-to-face meeting through video conferencing. One company found that video conferencing became their new best friend. It became mandatory that all meetings were done via video conferencing. Having that face-to-face presence helped maintain a stronger connection among staff and kept their culture thriving. I actually had a conversation with somebody yesterday whose company is working to become 100% remote over the next 6 weeks. And he was saying that his number one concern was maintaining that connection with his staff, you know, that face-to-face interaction. But they have implemented, you know, video chat. And they use that for all their, you know, instead of calling on the phone, they do video chats. Whenever they're meeting, they pull a video chat together. And he says it's really made a difference and helped him bridge the gap of converting into this remote work environment, which he kind of struggled with in the beginning. But now he says it's going really strong. So that video conferencing, investing in that may be a really, really important thing to do. Some staff, though, may object to being on a webcam. Some employers will be uncomfortable on the camera. They may fight it. We experienced quite a bit of that in the beginning. It's fascinating to me that you go from sitting, you know, 3D, face-to-face, in person, to just having a quarter of their body in a 2D image being projected becomes such a fearful thing for everybody. And people didn't like it. It just took us reinforcing the messaging that video conferencing is a requirement. We just kept having conversation with those who were uncomfortable and resisting, helping them be more confident and comfortable with it. You know, pretty much everybody got on board. There's still a few that really, really disliked it. But in time, people got confident and comfortable with it, and it became easier. And it just became how meetings were conducted. You pull up the video conferencing, you have a meeting. It was really that easy over time. Leaders also need to encourage staff to connect with each other, whether they're remote or in the office. Keep those connections alive. Instead of, you know, it's a simple idea, but for many people it may be a new skill. That water cooler talk that strengthens working relationships. And again, let's talk about the healthy water cooler talk here. Now evolves into that purposeful phone call. I need to learn to pick up the phone and connect with somebody I haven't talked to a while and check in on and just see how life is going. Those personal connections add a lot of value to the working relationship. It'll be a little awkward at first for people, but with most new habits, it's always awkward in the beginning until it becomes part of the way you work. Another idea is to use periodic team building exercises to bring coworkers together. As we talked about, those meet and greets that we set aside for our new hires to meet people throughout the organization. We actually expanded that program and we made quarterly meet and greets where we had people who don't connect on a regular basis kind of get together for half an hour in a virtual environment and just have a conversation. We had questions to help the conversation. There's general meet and greet questions out there. You know, places, things like, you know, this is one place I'd love to visit. Or, you know, we saw this movie over the weekend. Did anybody else see it? Just have those kind of interactions you'd normally have. But we had to kind of schedule it and make it part of our regular process. It really helped keep the bond strong among our staff. And people really enjoyed it because it was kind of a quick little break away from the day-to-day stuff. And really investing in those working relationships really led to more productive problem solving and teamwork over time. As for meetings, leaders will need to give everyone the opportunity to participate, and this is key. As with all meetings, an agenda should be established and distributed prior to the meeting so everybody understands the purpose and will stay on track. During the meeting, the chair will need to make sure that everyone has a chance to participate. Participating virtually can be a little challenging as there's usually a delay of 1 to 2 seconds in the transmission. And with people in the conference room together, they tend to dominate the conversation over those participating virtually. One best practice is for the leader to watch for cues on the video display that someone is trying to comment. You'll see them. You'll see their body language, and they try to open their mouth. You'll see the visual cues. And make sure you pause and give them a chance to say what they need to say. Call it on remote workers for input. You know, if they're quiet, ask them if they have anything they'd like to share. And then, you know, pausing, like I said earlier, is really key. Just take a breath. It's interesting how a moment of silence, people get uncomfortable in the room, but it really adds a lot of value to those participating virtually because they now have a chance to connect and collaborate with the group. One company switched all their meetings to 100% virtual, regardless if the people were in the office working or if they were working from home. It put everybody on the same footing in the meeting and it helped facilitate a more effective collaboration. So everybody was in the same environment. It's still awkward. You still talk over each other a little bit just because that delay does exist, but it did provide a more collaborative environment for everybody. And then as a manager, celebrating successes. That's really important that we do that. It's always important to celebrate successes, both large and small. You are so busy during the day. There's so much going on. And sometimes we forget to take a breath and celebrate. Acknowledgement, both publicly and privately, is an element of maintaining a strong employee engagement. And this does not change with remote workers. So don't make out of sight, out of mind a habit. Be intentional in acknowledging all staff. Make this part of your daily routine. If you do something in the office with staff, try to do something with your remote staff. You won't always be able to do this, which is expected. But at the times you do, it will be greatly appreciated. One program that we had implemented was writing simple thank you notes, but with a twist. Managers would share successes of their direct reports with each other. Then a manager in another department would send a short thank you note, just a quick 2 or 3 line thank you note, to someone who was not their direct report, acknowledging the success they heard about. I will tell you the positive feedback we got from this program was amazing. You would be surprised at the number of thank yous managers got for their thank you notes. It was just amazing. Things like, you made my day. I was having a difficult week, and your note made a difference. How did you know about that? It really made me feel good that you were aware and that my manager sharing that with everybody. The small touches and celebrating successes are really important, and in a virtual environment becomes that much more meaningful in keeping connections with everybody. So find a program that works for your organization and hold managers accountable to it. It will make a difference. Okay.
That's phenomenal, so, Patty. Thank you.
Yeah.
At Lighthouse, all of our employees are all remote and all over the country, and we've been doing this for many, many years now, and it's like you build a family.
Yeah.
And that's how we all communicate.
Yeah.
So just to close out
really quickly, implementing a remote worker program doesn't have to be daunting. There are some things to consider. It requires some planning to address the changes of a diverse work environment. It'll take some time and patience for everybody to develop their new normal in a diverse world. Once everybody has developed their approach, management has their vision for taking care of this multifaceted workforce, it'll just become part of who you are. You just have to go through that transition. With the right tools and support, you'll see positive results and wonder why you didn't do this earlier.
That's a great closing. If you have questions for Patty on this topic, you'll see Patty's contact information on the screen. You can either email Patty or give her a call. She'll spend a few minutes with you. So whether you're implementing a program for a remote work-at-home strategy or you want to improve upon what you have already, reach out to Patty. She'll talk to you for a few minutes, then we'll come back with a proposal to you, and you'll be all set to rock and roll. But I want to thank Patty for a tremendous presentation and being part of Open Line. We're going to do the same program next year because it's so popular, and you are just awesome, Patty. Thank you
thank
so
you
much.
Thank you very much. Thank you, everybody, for your time. I really appreciate it.
So have a great anybody want to put anything in the chat box before we close? Just got another minute here. We covered a lot of territory. Again, we're going to be sending out the slides and the audio next week, so you'll have that and share it with your management team. It's a big discussion, and then include Patty in that discussion also. So everyone have a wonderful holiday season. We're so grateful you are part of the Lighthouse family, and we look forward to hearing and touching base soon. And Patty, thank you again, and big hugs.
Thank you so much.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Bye.